still thick in the thick of the NBA playoffs without the Phoenix Suns, here to talk about all of it with us. Senior NBA writer from The Athletic, Sam Amick, our
guest. Sam!
On the Arizona Sports Line. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Always good to have you on the show. 10 days the Phoenix Suns have been out of the playoffs. For 10 days we've been hearing, oh, there's an announcement coming soon on the future of Frank Vogel. Yet here we are still waiting. What do you make of all of this, this situation right now with the Suns and Frank Vogel's future with this franchise?
I mean, you know, I will spin it somewhat positive and say the idea that Matt, you know, Ishbia is taking his time figuring out the blame game and not, you know, reacting in the way that he did and James Jones did in that press conference right after the year, where, just as you guys know, a lot of bizarre statements made and strange framing of the way their season came to an end. You know, if you're in his shoes, it's tough because, you know, one thing we don't talk about a lot with coaches is it's not really ever just about, you know, hey, was it his fault? Was it not his fault? Like, you need to find out where he is at with the guys in the locker room. And you need to find out, you know, how effective he'll be able to be going forward based on how, you know, this season went. Now, because of the price that Ishbia paid for the team, you know, typically when you give a coach a 5-year deal, like, these are not, this is not analysis that happens 1 year in, but, you know, he's obviously pushing pretty hard and I'm curious to see what he does here.
James Jones also said something very weird during that end of the season press availability when he said, we're going to be the team that maximizes Kevin Durant. How do you think KD, as a guy that's covered these guys for a while, how do you think he internalized that statement? And do you think, knowing what was in that Athletic story about guys rolling their eyes at Frank Vogel in the locker room, do you think maybe he's thinking or has wanderlust again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Kevin's thinking, and I've learned the hard way. Kevin doesn't appreciate it when we speculate too much about the way he looks at it. But I if I had to guess, you know, and I will, I don't think he probably loves, you know, being in the spotlight in that kind of way. I think at this stage of his career, it's a team game, and he's looking at the collective. But I do understand, you know, when James said what he said, and Dan, you kind of just alluded to this, the way I interpreted it was that's, you know, their way of making sure that he knows that he is the priority here, you know, potentially for fear that he would get kind of wanderlust and look around again. You know, no signs as of yet that that's the case. But, you know, the downside of handling the optics and the messaging that way is that, at least from the outside looking in, you just look like a somewhat delusional group in terms of what, you know, what you think you have. I understand they have a lot of talent, but Kevin Durant has been maximized. You know, he was maximized in OKC. I mean, no situation's perfect. You know, did Russell Westbrook take away from his superpowers at times? Sure. They also elevated them at times, you know, similar with the Warriors. So, you know, the idea that Kevin is still searching for a place to get maximized at this stage is not something that most folks, I think, agree with.
Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. You mentioned Kevin Durant, and, you know, the Suns maybe letting him know that he's a priority. Devin Booker is a priority as well. And I think it was an interesting, sometimes perplexing season for Devin Booker. Now that it's over, and him being asked to do different things at a higher level than he did earlier earlier in his career. What do you make of the season and where Devin Booker is right now at this point in his career, Sam?
It's tough. You know, these are first world problems, obviously, but like a guy like Devin, who, you know, he was loyal to the franchise for, you know, the early stage of his career, and it was such a cool story when they were able to get to the finals a couple of years ago. And they're not alone. I mean, there's been a few teams the past couple of years that they kind of, you know, sniffed the idea of a title and looked capable of doing it and just fell short, you know. But it's been a tough fall from grace since then, if you're Devin, where it's like, man, I was so patient and, you know, I was about the right things. And not only that, I mean, when they got to the finals, it was, you know, like he was the gravitational pull when it comes to talent that had come their way. You know, Chris Paul wanting to come to Phoenix, that was a Monty Williams, Devin Booker thing. And then, you know, chapter two being Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. So for it to not work out and for it to be as, you know, kind of seemingly dysfunctional as it is, at least, you know, to some degree, I got to imagine that disappoints him. And, you know, and I don't know where his head's at.
Yeah.
You know, this is the NBA, so there's rumors about everything, right? So he's tied to the Knicks. But he is age-wise at a place where, you know, I guarantee you, at minimum, he's got some people in his ear saying, hey, Books, you know, why don't we think about something else? You know, and he's gonna do what he wants to do, but I think he's got a lot to think about.
Yeah, I was told very directly, watch out for World Wide West, and you know exactly what that means, Sam. All right, when you look at this basketball team and you see that they don't have a point guard, they don't have a lot of wing defenders, they don't have a lot of athleticism, they don't have a lot of size, they're in the second apron, how do they get out of this, especially in a Western Conference where you're looking at a couple of teams in the Thunder and now the Timberwolves that are going to be issues going forward, along with all the other usual suspects?
And if I have the answer, then they can, you know, they can give me $10 million to go run the front office. they're incredibly restricted, and they are unfortunately now the poster, you know, boys, so to speak, of the second apron experience, and that's why, you know, when you analyze the different things that could come out of this, that's why most people gravitate toward star player movement right away. Like somebody's got to go. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's going to happen. They obviously are preaching continuity and to try it again. But you know, it's not just the price tag, you know, when it comes to the second apron. That's something where a guy like Matt Ishbia, who's got a ton of money, can flex and say, no, I got this. We're good. The problem is, you know, you can't make trades. You can't, you know, you might ultimately lose your draft picks. You know, the trade one in particular, I think people don't understand. I mean, if you're in the second apron, you have to match salaries to the penny, which virtually, you know, makes it impossible to do deals, as opposed to the typical matching of within 120% of salary.
Yeah.
You know, they've made it a hard cap, basically, if you're above the second apron, and that's just not a place where any team is going to want to operate.
Sam Amick, our guest, before we let you go, obviously fans in Phoenix were discouraged that the Suns got swept by the Timberwolves. The T-Wolves are still sweeping. What they've done so far in this postseason is eye-opening and very impressive. Do you see anybody beating them in the West? Because Oklahoma City's been real good, too, but Minnesota has just been a machine.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we keep overlooking OKC a little bit. I haven't seen them up close lately, but technically speaking, they have been just as dominant as Minnesota. But I did cover the first two games of the Denver-Minnesota series, and my God, Minnesota just ate them alive. And, you know, it's funny, Minnesota is one of those teams, and a lot of these teams left qualify here, that are benefiting from the new whistle. You know, I know playoff basketball is tough, but this is, you know, even more intensity, more letting go of physical play than we are used to seeing. And the other night, it was just wild. I mean, it was like, you know, NBA, MMA. And and watching Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander Walker, you know, just go after Jamal Murray, watching Karl Anthony Towns, you know, run over Jamal in the paint and not get a whistle. Like, if they're going to have, you know, let Minnesota play that way, then Denver's got no shot, because physicality-wise, intensity-wise, and just size on the roster, they can't match up with these Nuggets. So they look good. You combine the star power of Anthony Edwards, and they're formidable. But, man, after last night on the other series, real quick, you know, if Luka is ailing in the same way that Jamal Murray is in the other series.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then, you know, I think an OKC Minnesota matchup would be pretty competitive.
Yeah, it would. Sam, always appreciate the
time
and the insight. Thanks so much for coming on the show.